Good afternoon. This is Carol Bond with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated November 24th, 2015. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with an article titled, 2016 Election Filing Begins. And this was written by Ryan Voiles, an H&R staff writer. Just in time for Thanksgiving, ballots for next year's election have begun to be stuffed. Candidates from U.S. Senate to county boards have started to turn in their petition signatures this week to get on the March primary ballot. Candidates have until November 30th to file their intention to run. Several races began to take shape within minutes of the petitions being submitted Monday morning. Three challengers will seek to unseat U.S. Senator Mark Kirk, including one by fellow Republican James Martyr, a software consultant from Oswego. Other filings for the Senate seat will set up a Democratic primary matchup between U.S. Representative Tammy Duckworth and Andrea Zopp, the former CEO of the Chicago Urban League. Missing from the filing is State Senator Napoleon Harris of Harvey, who previously announced his intent to run. U.S. Representative Rodney Davis has been the lone person to file for the 13th Congressional District, where Davis has served since 2013. Bloomington's David Gill, who lost to Davis by 1,002 votes in the 2012 election, has previously announced his intent to run as an independent. A current Republican state senator will look to challenge a longtime Republican congressman, as Senator Kyle McCarter, Republican from Lebanon, has filed to run against U.S. Representative John Shimkus of Collinsville in the 15th Congressional District. McCarter has served in the Illinois Senate since 2009, while Shimkus has served in Congress since 1997. U.S. Representative Darren LaHood, who was elected earlier this summer to complete the term of Aaron Schock, is the only candidate to file in the 18th Congressional District so far. No candidates have filed as of Monday afternoon for either the 44th or 55th Illinois Senate, though incumbents Bill Brady and Dale Ryder have both stated their intent to seek re-election. State Representative Sue Scherer, Democrat from Decatur, will seek another term representing the 96th House District. She is set to face a challenge from Cindy Diedrich Wolfer, a business owner and community leader from Macon, who will seek the Republican nomination. Longtime State Representative Bill Mitchell, Republican from Forsyth, may see some competition next year, as Christine Law of Forsyth has filed as a Democrat to seek the nomination to challenge Mitchell in the 101st House District. Three candidates, all Republicans, have filed to represent the 102nd House seat that will be open after incumbent State Rep. Adam Brown said he would not seek re-election. Among the candidates are St. Joseph Ogden School District Superintendent James Acklin, former State Representative Brad Halbrook, and Edgar County Republican Chairman Randy Peterson. Several candidates have lined up to challenge State Representative Avery Bourne, Republican from Raymond in the 95th House District. Republican Dennis Scobie, a retired Litchfield High School teacher, and Democrat Mike Mathis, president of the Illinois Democratic County Chairman's Association, were the only two candidates who filed to run by Monday afternoon. Bourne, who was appointed to the seat in February, has stated her intent to seek re-election. Christopher Hicks of Sawyerville has previously stated his intent to seek the Republican nomination in the race. State Representative David Rice, Republican from Willow Hill, is set for a general election challenge from John Curtis, a former educator and farmer in the 109th House District. Several incumbents who do not yet have competition include Tim Butler, Republican from Springfield, in the 87th House District, Reggie Phillips, Republican from Charleston, in the 110th House District, and John Cavaletto, Republican from Salem, in the 107th House District. Aside from federal and state level races, the local election picture has also started to form. In Macon County, many familiar faces were among those to file Monday morning. Among those who will seek re-election are Circuit Clerk Lois Durbin, Auditor Carol Reed, State's Attorney Jay Scott, and County Board members David Drobish, Patricia Patty Cox, and Brian Smith. Other filings included Deborah Kraft for the County Board's 5th District and Marty Watkins for the County Board's 7th District. This business-related story appears on the front page. The headline is, Businesses Ready for Start of Holiday Shopping Season. And this was written by Chris Lusvardi. Harristown is the dateline. The items that can be found at Sanders, Harrison, Depot, Antiques never stay the same. Owner Lynette Sanders is always making changes to what is offered, hoping customers who come back have something different to look for each time they visit. That's one of the advantages of being a small business, Sanders said. We're going to find something unique for somebody, said Sanders, who has owned the store with her husband Jeff, that has over 80 vendors spread out over 10,000 square feet at 1190 North Meridian Street in Harristown since 2012. The business is in a train depot that was built in 1910. It can really bring out the memories, Sanders said. We have so much vintage stuff. Sanders encourages customers who see something they like to buy it, or it might be gone by the time they come back. Unlike what other stores sell, she said many of the items are one of a kind. Sanders, like other store managers throughout the Decatur area and beyond, has been getting ready for the holiday shopping season, hoping to attract new and repeat customers throughout the next month. Although many businesses started running sales and hosting holiday events in the past several weeks, some before Halloween, this weekend remains the official start to the holiday shopping season. It starts with the retailers that choose to open on Thanksgiving Day and continues into Black Friday. The focus on those days tends to be on larger retailers, but smaller stores don't want shoppers to overlook what they have to offer with a promotion of their own. Small Business Saturday began as an American Express initiative to encourage support of local economies. The Harristown Depot is among those hosting a Small Business Saturday event, Sanders said. The event from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. includes a photo booth, snacks, prizes, and sales, she said. Sanders plans to hide a red mitten for customers to find as they explore the store. She said those who find the mitten will receive a prize. I'm always hiding something, Sanders said. It intrigues them to look in all the booths. Other organized promotions throughout the area includes the Lincoln Logan County Chamber of Commerce promoting downtown Lincoln businesses. The chamber is planning a scavenger hunt leading shoppers to find chamber bucks at participating downtown businesses, said Kara Barr, Logan County Alliance Events Coordinator. Shoppers will be looking for a porcelain watermelon, Barr said. When shoppers support small businesses, they are supporting the local economy and local job base, Barr said. For those who want to get a start on their holiday shopping early in the long weekend, Hickory Point Mall in Forsyth will be open from 6 p.m. to midnight Thursday and reopen for shoppers at 6 a.m. Friday. American Eagle Outfitters, Bath & Body Works, Ross Dress for Less, and Ulta Beauty are among those with planned 6 p.m. Thursday openings. Bergner's opens at 5 p.m. Thursday, and Kohl's plans to open at 6. Both department stores are slated to remain open overnight through Black Friday. Shoppers looking to get a jump start on holiday shopping can visit Hickory Point Mall to take advantage of great deals and holiday cheer, said Sean Phillips, Regional Marketing Director for CBI Malls, which owns and manages the shopping center. This holiday season, shoppers have more time to shop and get great savings. In addition to shopping, Phillips said Carmike Hickory Point 12 theaters will be open on Thanksgiving for moviegoers. While some stores have trended toward being open on Thanksgiving, not all retailers are moving in that direction. Von Maur is a business that emphasizes the value of family and spending time with loved ones. Chief Operating Officer Melody Wright said that like it has been for 140 years, it will be closed on Thanksgiving. Quoting Wright, "We've been unwilling to change that. We never saw it as worthwhile. It helps employees stay loyal. Customers see that as well." Von Maur, which has a store at the mall in Forsyth, will open 1 hour earlier than normal at 9 a.m. Friday, Wright said. She said that's as early as they'd like to go. Black Friday is no longer as important as it once was, Wright said. She said the shopping season is spread out more than it has been, both by starting earlier and more shoppers waiting until the week or so before Christmas. Von Maur plans to offer some Black Friday specials, Wright said. It offers incentives such as free gift wrapping and free shipping throughout the year, she said. Similarly, the owner of Blaine's Farm and Fleet continues to value the tradition of being closed on Thanksgiving like it has since the family-owned Wisconsin-based chain was founded in 1955. Our company wouldn't be here if it weren't for strong family values and traditions, CEO Jane Blaine Gilbertson said. So it goes without saying that we will close our doors on holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas. These are special days meant to be spent with family and friends. She wants to give employees that opportunity. Blaine's Farm and Fleet, which includes a location at 1191 West Southside Drive in Decatur, plans to open at 6 a.m. Friday with early bird specials and sales. Brian Blaine Gilbertson also hopes customers will spend Thursday relaxing with family and friends while watching the football games on television. We turn now to local news, and specifically news of the crime in courts. Some articles written by Dave Fopay, a Lee News Service writer, and the dateline is Charleston. The headline is Mattoon Man Admits Sex Acts with Boy 9. A man on Monday admitted to a sex act with a 9-year-old boy and now faces a sentence of at least 6 years in prison. James D. Craig was originally accused of 9 different sex acts with the boy and could be sentenced to up to 60 years in prison. Craig, 46, whose residence on record at the time of his arrest was in Mattoon, pleaded guilty to a charge of predatory criminal sexual assault of a child. That charge and other charges that were dismissed accused Craig of engaging in oral sex and other sex acts with the boy on various occasions in April and May. Dismissing the charges alleging the additional sex acts was the only agreement in exchange for Craig's guilty plea. With no agreement on a sentence, Coles County Circuit Judge Teresa Reiter scheduled a sentencing hearing for January 20th. Craig has been jailed since his arrest in July, and his bond is set at an amount that would require $20,000 to be posted for release. July was when the boy told Mattoon police about the sexual assaults, according to records in the case. The boy said Craig was a family friend, and the sex acts took place during 4 occasions when he stayed with Craig, the records state. Also, according to case records, Craig denied the sex acts when first interviewed by police, but told investigating officers he, quote, needed help. Assistant State's Attorney Tim Butcher is prosecuting the case, and Attorney Sean Britton represents Craig. We turn now to a column entitled A 3 Local Briefs, and the first one concerns a concert, Opus 24 Fall Concert. Their concert is called There Shall a Star, and it's tonight at St. Patrick Catholic Church. Tickets for the 7:30 p.m. performance are $10 for adults, $5 for children. Magnet School applications will be Decatur's Magnet Schools will be accepting applications in December and January. The deadline is Monday, February 1st. Any student in the Decatur School District is eligible to apply for any magnet school. To be placed into the lottery for admission to one of the magnets, a parent or guardian must attend an orientation session at the school. The electronic lottery will be held in February, and families will be notified afterward. Magnet schools are Durfee, French Academy, Garfield Montessori, Enterprise, which is transitioning to Montessori, Hope Academy, and Johns Hill. For more information, call the district at 362-3000. Grow Decatur update. Grow Decatur will provide a community update during 2 sessions Tuesday, December 1st. The first session will be held 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Madden Auditorium at the Decatur Public Library, 130 North Franklin Street in Decatur. The second will be held 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Hope Academy, 955 North Illinois Street in Decatur. The sessions will summarize Grow Decatur's progress over the past 2 years, present findings from workshops this summer, and review priorities of the imperatives resulting from those workshops. Those attending the sessions can provide feedback and ask questions. Another article under local news involves an arrest. Suspect lured to police is the headline. Police arrested a Decatur man wanted on sexual assault charges by tricking him into meeting them. Sworn statements stated the 26-year-old suspect was taken into custody Friday afternoon. He had been telephoned and told that a landlord needed to check the furnace in a building the suspect was using. When the suspect showed up, he was surrounded by Special Deputy U.S. Marshals. Police also allegedly found he had a stolen and loaded .25-caliber semi-automatic handgun stuffed into a pants pocket and was carrying 11.5 grams of cannabis and a package of white pills not yet identified. In addition to the three outstanding sexual assault charges, the suspect faces additional counts of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, possession of a weapon by a felon, possession of a stolen firearm, and possession of cannabis. Another crime-related story has this headline, Victim Robbed of $3. A Decatur man is facing robbery charges after police allege he accosted a male victim outside a store Sunday morning and snatched $3 in change from his coat. Police said the robbery was witnessed by an employee of the Monroe Quick Stop at 1810 North Monroe Street. Patrol officers caught up with the suspect within 17 minutes, and sworn statements noted the victim identified him as the person who robbed him. Interviewed later, the suspect said he had loaned money to the victim, and now he wanted it back. He was jailed on a charge of robbery and possessing drug paraphernalia after police said they found he was carrying a pipe used for smoking cannabis. Next headline, Myths of Macon County. A free program on Myths of Macon County will be 2 p.m. Saturday, November 28th at Rock Springs Nature Center, 3939 Nearing Lane. People believe myths about the wolves, bears, cougars, and other wild creatures that live or once lived in Macon County, and naturalists will separate fact from fiction in this program. Pre-register online by Friday, November 27th at www.maconcountyconservation.org. We turn now to another article concerning education. AP exams gain consistent scoring for college credit, and this was written by Valerie Wells, Dateline Decatur. Illinois high school students who achieve a score of 3 or higher on advanced placement exams will receive college credit at all Illinois colleges and universities starting next year. Governor Bruce Rauner signed House Bill 3428 into law earlier this year. They had all different standards, said Michael Dugan, Assistant Superintendent for the Decatur School District. One school might require a 3 for English and some a 4 for English. What we like about the new law for state schools is the consistency. I think students taking an AP class for those choosing an in-state school It's making state schools more attractive for them. Students taking an AP class are already high achievers, and Decatur pays for students to take the AP exam. But the exam is rigorous and lengthy, and if a student is not convinced they will score high enough to receive college credit, they might skip the test. Decatur offers dual credit classes, as well as AP and articulated classes, which are non-credit introductory classes that allow high school students to move directly into college credit classes at Richland Community College, saving time and money. Some students might choose the dual credit as classes as well as AP and articulated classes as a guarantee of a credit for their time and effort, rather than take a risk on an AP class, which is usually much more work and offers no guarantee if they don't do well on the exam. A majority of our kids can get a 3, said Allison Nolan, assistant principal at LSA High School. It still shows there was learning, and they grasp the content. The tests are really hard, and a requirement of a 3 is more uniform. It's really hard with me as a guidance counselor asking what college you want to go to. For Southern Illinois at Carbondale, you have to have this number. For another school, it's this number. It was a lot of research had to take place to figure out what you have to score. Some colleges wouldn't accept AP credit at all, or a required score of 5, which is very difficult, she said. And the idea of dual credit and AP classes is to help students save money while challenging them with college-level learning, Dugan said. By getting some of their requirements completed in high school, it's not unusual for an ambitious and hardworking student to begin college with a year's worth of college credit already under the belt, making college expenses and class requirements less daunting. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the November 24th issue of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.